Some big companies are earning money. How about you?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. It's time for the Morning Open, when we take stock of business and the economy just as stock markets begin trading for the day. Coming up, we've got some earnings news this morning with a Kung Fu grip. And is your retirement plan booming right along with the stock market? Maybe, maybe not. First, let's ask, where's Wall Street? Stocks are flat right now. The NASDAQ is just about dead even, and the S&P 500 is up 0.1%. The Dow is ahead a mere 18 points, but that does put it back across the 10,000 threshold at 10,014. European shares are up about 1% now, and Asian stocks were mostly higher today, too. Oil jumped to its high for the year overnight, $79 a barrel. And it's just under that now. Sam Stovall is Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research, and he's with us live this morning from New York City. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning, Bill.
So we got some more corporate earnings this morning. Gannett, biggest newspaper publisher in the country, Hasbro, BB&T, all beat estimates. What do you make of that?
Well, it seems to be a continuation of a string of better-than-expected results. Alcoa, J.P. Morgan Chase, Intel. So it seems as if less bad is good and getting even better.
And aside from earnings, so what's the other good news out there?
Well, we got some commentary from a senior government official in China indicating that their estimate of GDP growth in the first 9 months was at 7 to 8%, so squarely puts it on target for an 8% growth this year, and also on target for our forecast of 10% growth next year.
Okay, so Sam, we've heard a lot about the Wall Street rally. I want to talk about the rest of us. Many of my friends and colleagues will be getting their quarterly retirement statements these days. So among the mutual fund industry, where a lot of us have retirement plans, who's performing and not performing?
Well, I think those investors who have a lot of money allocated toward index funds probably are seeing better returns since the March 9th low than those that are in actively traded funds. I think primarily because a lot of active managers have probably been on the sidelines waiting for a sharp correction before putting more money to work.
Wow. If you're paying those management fees, that hurts, Sam. Thank you very much.
Welcome, Bill.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. In other news this morning, billionaire hedge fund manager Raj Rajaratnam is talking to his employees in New York this morning. He is out on bail 3 days after he was arrested for a massive insider trading allegation. Authorities say his firm, Galleon, acted illegally on information from companies that include IBM and Google. Here's Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson.
The SEC's director of enforcement said Rajaratnam was no master of the universe. He was a master of the Rolodex, calling contacts at companies and getting information before trading. But that's what all hedge funds do, says Fordham University securities law professor Steve Thiel.
There's some insider trading we know is unlawful, and there's some we know is lawful, but the line is very tough.
For instance, he says,
I can't talk to the president of a company and learn information and buy the company stock. But I can talk to him and learn information and use it to buy a competitor stock.
Thiel says with Rajaratnam's arrest, all hedge funds will have to take a hard look at their own practices. Authorities gathered evidence in this case through wiretaps, but these days they're relying more heavily on sophisticated software to monitor suspicious trading. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
And this morning, CIT Group, that huge lender to small and mid-sized businesses, issued a warning that even if it restructures its debt, it might still have to file for bankruptcy. Some economists say a CIT collapse would be a body blow to a sickly U.S. economy.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by The Economist, covering news and ideas from around the world and the connections between them. The Economist, on newsstands, in bookstores, and at economist.com. And by Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build strong customer relationships with email marketing and online surveys. ConstantContact.com.
Apple reports earnings later today after the market closes, and the numbers are expected to look great. Again, Apple is that rare company whose stock is higher today than it was about 2 years ago when the Dow was at its peak. So are there any worms threatening this company? On the line with us is James McQuivey. He follows Apple as an analyst with Forrester Research. Good morning.
Good morning.
Right now, the iPhone comes exclusively with AT&T as the carrier. When that contract expires next year, is that going to be good for Apple or bad?
No matter what comes out of this, it's going to be good for Apple, because either AT&T is going to step up and pay a hefty sum to make sure they maintain their exclusivity with Apple, or AT&T is going to not be able to afford it, and as a result, Apple will be able to shop around and get a few more providers. Certainly someone like a Verizon or a Sprint would be very eager to get in on the action and would pay for the privilege to do so.
And would that carrier competition make the iPhone any cheaper for consumers?
Probably in the end slightly cheaper. Where it's going to be cheaper is on the data plans, probably for lower speeds.
Verizon just launched an ad for its upcoming phone using Google's Android operating system, and there's already an Android phone with T-Mobile. How big a threat does Google's Android pose to Apple?
You know, in the short run, it's not much of a threat at all. The smartphone market is going to grow dramatically. However, if Android is successful, it will be successful because anyone can develop applications for it that don't have to be approved by Google. And that's not the case with the iPhone. And so if Google is in a position to say, hey, let's have a dozen or two dozen carriers use our phone's operating system, and let's let thousands of developers develop applications for it, you might see 3-4 years from now a world where there are many more Android phones than there are iPhones.
Analyst James McQuivey at Forrester Research, thank you.
Thank you.
And finally, a Birmingham, Alabama man who goes by the nickname Racer X bought a vanity license plate with 7 X's on it. Trouble is, 7 X's also happens to be Birmingham City code for a car with no license plate. The man figured this out with the help of $19,000 in parking tickets. Birmingham's traffic engineer seems open to change. Instead of entering 7 X's, he said, maybe we should just leave that part blank. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. The Dow is right at 10,000 now, gaining 4 points this morning. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.